healthy relationships are two individual people, and it's an even tug and pull. It's not this like measuring cup of, well, you don't do this for me, but I do it for you.
Welcome to the Inspired to Thrive podcast. I'm your host, Phoebe Lay, and in each episode, I will be sharing with you insights from either an inspiring person or myself to help you thrive and shine online and in person. We talk about all things marketing, relationships, money, business, growth, mindset, and more. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Inspired to Thrive and Shine podcast, where we dive deep into the journey of personal growth, self-worth, and authentic connections. Today, I am thrilled to introduce Mariah Blueher, a certified life coach specializing in empowering single women to create fulfilling lives on their own terms. Mariah's work is all about reframing loneliness and singlehood as opportunities for self-discovery and transformation. She is here to share insights on building your self-worth, setting healthy boundaries, and cultivating a strong, confident mindset, all before stepping into another relationship. So get ready to rethink what it means to be single and how this time can be one of the most empowering phases of your life. Mariah, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you on.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
It's so lovely to have you on here. I'm so excited to talk about this because I think singlehood is actually a great time. It's definitely a time that a lot of men and women can embrace. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, there used to be a stigma, but I think that's like now starting to pass. But from our previous discussion, it seems like there's still a lot of people out there that are living under the misconception that the sooner we move on and meet someone else, the better life is, when in actual fact, it's not always the case. And a lot of the time, when we go from one relationship breakup to another and we jump straight into another thing, we actually don't have enough time to reflect, to grow, or to learn from a situation. And I'm sure you can tell us all about that. I do think that singlehood is a wonderful journey, and it's something that we need to embrace because it doesn't last forever. But I'd love to start off by asking you, what do or did you love about being single, and why is it something that we should embrace?
Great question. So a few years ago, I got out of a very toxic relationship and I was devastated. I was heartbroken. I was so blindsided and it was so difficult for me to even pick myself up off the floor, nonetheless, have the energy or the will to like look inward about myself and what I can do in order to grow and find my next relationship, a healthy relationship. Like that was just like unfathomable to me. I was like, there's no way I'm never going to find love again. Like this was it. Like I'm, what am I going to do? And I really took the time to really embrace being single and learning a lot about not only myself and who I had become, because we go through so many different versions of who we are. And I think sometimes we often forget to really reflect back on what those transformations have been. And so I really took the time to be able to do that. And I learned a lot about men and why men behave certain ways and the psychology behind how their brains are wired versus how females are wired in a way to help me in my next relationships, right? I wasn't trying to really understand men for men. I was trying to understand men for me so that I could understand how to navigate new relationships. And I found for the first time, I'm in a very healthy relationship. I really think that taking the time to find the solitude that I did within being single helped me find a relationship where we have a healthy attachment to one another rather than being like codependent. And that's something that I'd experienced in my last relationship. And so it's so incredibly refreshing to be able to see now that healthy relationships do exist. But I'm absolutely certain that I wouldn't have found that my partner now if I hadn't taken that time to be single and to learn about who I am, what my values are, what my boundaries are, what works for me, what doesn't. I used to hate spending time alone, and now it's a non-negotiable.
I love that. I truly believe that when we come out of a relationship where it is toxic, it actually is very, very conducive to growth. And it's a blessing. It's something that a lot of people don't, thankfully, experience in their lifetimes. But for the ones that do, usually, if you stop to learn from it, there's actually a lot of beautiful seeds that come from that experience because it gets you to pivot into this whole new version of yourself. And I agree, you can't do that without some time alone. And when we are in relationships where we're constantly with the other person, there is no space to grow and to reflect and to learn. And it becomes very, very unhealthy. And that's not to say for the listeners, if you're living with your partner and you're married and you're seeing your partner every single day, that that's a bad thing. As it was discussed in a previous episode where we talk about codependency, it's actually just about being able to set aside some time to do things on your own or with your friends and not with mutual friends, right?
No, and absolutely, you're spot on. And I also think for me, like, I realize that I'm in a relationship that is two independent people. We live our two individual lives, and then we come together, we live together. But it doesn't feel like this, like, oh, if you're home, I have to be home, or if you're going out with your friends, I have to go out with your friend or my friends. Like, I'm like, can you please go out with your friends? Or like, if he doesn't have plans, but I make plans, there's no animosity, there's no negativity. It's like, have fun, babe, see you later. And I'm really not used to that because in my previous relationship, I mean, he'd literally go to work with me for the most part. And so just like literally no time spent apart. And how are you supposed to know who you are when you spend all your time with somebody else?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's very important that we are actually aware that if someone is constantly checking in on you, where are you, who are you with, and wanting to be a part of your day, your night, and just always there, that's actually a red flag. And that's something that we've discussed gently on this show, but it is something to keep in mind because that's possessiveness, and that actually is quite dangerous. It can lead to abuse. It's something that is unhealthy, and it's an early warning sign of a red flag that can lead to abuse. So, people, listen to your gut and make sure that you set healthy boundaries.
No, truly. And I feel bad. I had a grin on my face, but I was only grinning because it's when I first started dating my boyfriend. We wouldn't talk. I was like, don't you care about what I'm doing? He was like, I don't really like texting. We'll talk when I see you. And it was an adjustment for me to get used to because even I'm texting my girlfriends all day, or you kind of like come up with this idea and this expectation that having your partner constantly reaching out to you means that they love you, means that they admire you, means that they care about you. And so it's really important. And I'm glad that you addressed that it actually is a very large red flag. It is possessive, and it was a transition to then now be with a partner that's like, okay, I'll see you when I see you. Have fun. We'll talk when I see you. I'm like, huh? But it's been amazing because it's also helped me become less addicted to technology, enjoy the moments that I'm in rather than, it's like really just created this environment where we have a healthy relationship. We're together when we're together, and there's no anxiety in between.
I think that's so important, Mariah. And I definitely agree. Like, I remember when I was in my previous relationship, it was like my phone was constantly going off. And so it becomes this addiction. It's actually something that we need to create space from because if your phone's constantly going off, what are you going to do when they are away, when they're overseas, or if you break up or whatever? It's the same as people that are addicted to social media. If you're constantly waiting for that next notification and those likes and those thumbs ups and those comments, what are you going to do when you're like alone on an island and you've got no reception? So we've got to be able to learn how to navigate that early. And if you spot yourself doing that, if you're like constantly needing your partner to text you or call you, maybe it's a good idea to try entertaining those spaces and those gaps with other things. I'd love to know, Mariah, when you enter a new relationship, and obviously there's that balance, you're spending a lot more time together. How do you find that right balance where you're striking enough time alone, but also quality time with your partner?
Good question. I think you just know in your gut. Every person is different, meaning every relationship is different. So there's not really a right or wrong answer to that. You know, you can feel it. You either feel deprived from your own needs, whether that's alone time or running your errands that you need to get done or whatever it is, or if you feel deprived in your relationship, if you feel like you miss that person or that you just genuinely haven't spent that much time together. Like, even though I live with my partner, we work opposite schedules. I work in the day, he works at night. And so we have to actually find the time within our schedules to like say, okay, do you have 1 hour, you know, on Thursday night that we can like cook dinner together, whatever it may be. And so just, I think it's just a different balance for everybody. But I think you really know in your gut how to, you know, like you know when you need something. And what's so important is that you're able to communicate that to your partner, whether it's I need alone time, I need more time with you, I need time with my girlfriends, I need you to leave the house. Whatever it may be, it's so important that you have somebody that you can communicate with and that also understands your boundaries.
And respects it as well.
Yeah, respects it.
I think it's really different, someone that respects your boundaries and someone that is able to give you space versus someone that's pretending to give you space and pretending to respect your boundaries, but they actually don't treat you with decency and decent love. That's something that again is a gut thing as well. But I love the fact that you talk about, you know, spending time away from your partner, having individual lives and trusting your gut. You know, this is talked about so much on this show, but that is definitely the biggest indicator that things are either right or wrong.
I agree. And it just reminds me of a quick story. When my boyfriend was moving in with me, this was July, I had gotten an invitation to spend 2 weeks in the Grand Canyon. That means no cell phone service, absolutely no communication. And I also felt really bad. I felt sad because he had, was moving in. This was an exciting time. And when I approached him with the fact that I was going to go to the Grand Canyon the day after he moved in, he said, "Why do you feel bad?" And I said, "Well, you're moving in and you know like that's a really special time." And he says, "Well, you're going to come back, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Okay, then I'll see you when you get back." And I was like, "Oh, okay, this is so healthy, like this is so good." Like, he didn't make me feel bad about going, he did not guilt trip me, he did not make it about himself. He said, "This is such an amazing opportunity for you, I'm so excited for you, out the door you go."
I love that. That's awesome. And that would have been really refreshing, I'm guessing, especially after what you've been through.
Absolutely. It's, and still, I mean, we've been together for 2 years, and I still sometimes have to really reflect on the changes between the two relationships. And it's crazy when you actually get into a new, different relationship that's healthy. And sometimes I'm like, wow, how did this happen?
So how did
You
it
know?
happen? Like, what do you think you worked on that allowed you to create and manifest this new man in your life?
I don't think that I had one boundary for most of my life. I've been an empath my whole life. I still am, but I really struggled with it for a very long time. I put everyone's needs above my own. Other people's needs became my own needs, even though I wasn't even involved in the situation, you know? And I just kind of, I lost all sense of self. I had no idea who I was. Who is Mariah? And when you lose everything, you lose who you think is the love of your life. And I was going through some other hardships at the time with friends. Like, I really felt like everything got stripped away from me without any warning. And I was left with nothing but having to get to know myself again. And it sucked. It was really, really hard at first, but it's absolutely what led me to being where I am today because I know exactly who I am. I got to re-know my values, I got to reconnect with nature. I forgot how much I love nature and how much spending time in nature actually provides me with confidence. That's such an interesting thing to think about. Like, to me, I always thought confidence was like looking good in the way that you're dressing or like getting your hair done. And what I realized was actually, I feel best when I'm in nature with no makeup on, in the same t-shirt for 2 weeks. Like, I feel most myself. And when you find what makes you feel the most yourself, it actually boosts your confidence. So that's the importance of getting to know what you value. What are your beliefs? That helps you create your boundaries within not only your relationship with yourself, but your relationship with your friends and your partners, your family. But like without having that sense, like, If you don't know who you are and what you need and what you deserve, you will settle for anything that comes your way. And that's what provides so much pain. That's what leads you to being in so much pain. And honestly, to feeling so lonely. Being lonely is a natural emotion. We're human, we all experience it, but there's a difference of feeling lonely sometimes and creating this environment where it consumes you, right? Where you have this idea of being in a relationship that is going to make you, when you are in a relationship, you will no longer feel lonely. And that's just not the truth. And so when you look inward and you do the work and you enjoy becoming the person that you are and finding those qualities about yourself, it makes welcoming or finding a partner into your life so much easier. Because you know exactly what your boundaries are, right? You lower your expectations of finding this like perfect partner. And instead, you just know what like your red flags are. If they respect your boundaries, if you can communicate with them. And it helps so much to lead you to find that person.
Oh, I totally agree, Mariah. I love what you've just shared. And I really resonate with what you said about the fact that when we are in a relationship and there's no gaps, like you're constantly with another person, you can still feel very, very alone. Like I remember there were days where I was sitting in my partner's car. He was there and he was loud, grandiose, and I was feeling deeply alone, and there was plenty of noise. It was like I felt more alone than I do when I'm by myself and it's just me and my dog. Because there's a difference between feeling alone, which is disconnect, and having peace and space and just like room to breathe. And I think that a lot of the time people, there's a myth that being single means that it's going to be challenging and lonely. Time when you spend alone can actually be really, really peaceful and empowering, and you don't have to feel lonely. There will be times where, yes, the emotions is going to surface, but I think it's an important time to embrace that and to lean into the feelings, maybe even spending some time out in nature to do it. So, yeah, I love what you've just shared. And I think reconnecting with things that you really enjoy is very necessary. And sometimes it does take being single to be able to do that. Like, I know for me, whenever I am single, the first thing that I do is solo travel. And I've done that for so many years. And when you talked about reconnecting with nature, it just reminds me of when I reconnect with solo travel and adventure and like going out there, meeting strangers, reading a map, being in a place where it's a different country, different language. And I think it's so healthy to do those things that remind us of who we are before we met that person.
Yeah, and also a great reminder that you should never lose that sense of that version of yourself, even when you're with a partner.
Yes.
You should, no partner should ever stop you from solo traveling if that's what makes you feel the best. Whether it's solo traveling, time in nature, hiking a mountain, seeing a movie, going to a spa, doesn't matter. Whatever you feel your best self doing should not disappear when you're with your partner.
I agree. But I think sometimes, especially women, I'm just going to say this. I'm not sure if this is PC, but I do think that a lot of the time women feel guilty when they leave their partner alone and when they go out and spend time doing the things that they love and they feel like they've got to be constantly there. But actually, sometimes we just need to take a step back and realize everyone's adaptable. Like people are a lot stronger than we think they are. And they can cope, they can deal, and it's important to put yourself first.
No, 100%. And that actually is, that's so valid. And it reminds me, there's a few things I learned when I was like reading about the difference between men and women and our psychology and the way that we think. And one thing that really stuck with me is that men fall in love in the time that they spend away from their partner, while women fall in love in the time that they spend with their partner.
Wow.
I was like, oh, This makes sense. Distance makes the heart grow fonder. Like you hear these things all the time, but then actually like really reading about it over and over and over and over, I was like, oh, this is really powerful because there's so much anxiety when you're first meeting somebody or officially dating somebody and you don't hear from them. It causes all these alarms to go off in our brains because we're like, oh, we need to be with them. We need to be with them. When in reality, you need to give them their time away from you in order for them to figure out how they feel about you. It's just like a cruel thing that nature put us to be opposites in that way. However, understanding that and understanding how men are different from us
Yeah.
definitely helps decrease that anxiety.
What were some of the books or resources that you tapped into?
So there's this woman, Rory Ray. I signed up for her newsletter. And I dove in so hardcore, and I learned most of this from her. I've been reading The 8 Rules of Love by Jay Shetty, and that also has really aligned a lot of the stuff I learned from Rory, but just from a different perspective. Because like Rory's a coach that literally just works on like real people in relationships mostly, so helping women understand men through either breakups or difficulties in your marriage or whatever it may be. And I learned so much from that.
That's really cool. And I'd love to know, you guide your clients in releasing expectations, right? And that's something that obviously I think everyone goes into a relationship with expectations. Unfortunately, it's just human nature. Can you share with us what are a few ways that unrealistic expectations can actually sabotage a relationship? And how can people go into relationships with less expectations or have less expectations in their existing relationship?
Absolutely. Great question. Expectations can literally ruin your relationship, whether it be a friendship or your romantic partner, your parents, your children. If you have expectations that are not communicated to this other individual person, it can ruin the relationship. We have a tendency to just automatically think that people can read our minds, and they can't, right? No matter how well you know someone, you don't actually know what's going on inside of their mind, inside of their heart. And when you expect somebody to, let's say, text you back when they get home or when they get home, but you didn't ask them to, and then it hurts your feelings, and then you're mad at them, they're like, why are you mad at me? What did I do wrong? Nothing was communicated to them. So it automatically starts this like rivalry. When you have expectations of this is a good one, girls and their birthdays. Just tell them what you want. Just tell them what you want. Tell them what you need. And, then you won't be disappointed because the truth is like, there's a difference between you explaining to somebody very thoroughly, this is what I need to feel loved. This will make me feel loved. This is what I want to do. And you just expecting them to know what to do because you told them like 3 weeks ago. I've seen so many arguments happen between couples due to this. And it just creates a toxic environment. You have to be able to communicate and also understand your own expectations. You also reverse it, expectations of yourself. Oh, I thought I would do better. Oh, I thought this would have gone differently. I thought I would have gotten a better grade. I thought I would have done better. You're human. You have to just meet yourself in that situation with self-compassion and love.
That is so absolutely right. I 100% agree. And I think that communication is definitely the key. It's so healthy to explain, share, tell your partner how you feel, when your needs aren't being met. But it's also really important to realize that your partner is not there to meet all of your needs. And that's something that I used to fall into the trap of as well, where I would feel, for example, disconnected, lonely, maybe even isolated, and think it was my partner's job to change how I felt. When in actual fact, I just needed to tune into my own inner guidance and realize what was going on and look at the bigger picture. And I mean, for me, I was just unhappy. I was not in the right relationship. I was clearly, there were value clashes, all sorts of misalignment, but I had abandoned myself. And so I'd love to talk about this. Self-abandonment can easily happen even before a relationship begins, even in like when we're single, we can self-abandon. So how can women or men realize and identify that they are abandoning themselves, whether they're single or not, and how can they go back to their authentic selves and not, and fully embracing and not doing that?
I think that when you've taken the time to get to know your authentic self and you really feel like you have your 2 feet in the ground, which, by the way, this changes all the time. You can do the work and feel so good about yourself and be so sure of who you are. But then 6 months go by, a year go by, life events happen. It's going to change who you are. And so it's so detrimentally important to take the time to look back and have a date with yourself, get to know yourself again. How are we feeling about this? How are we feeling about that? And when you don't do that is when you easily abandon who you are entering relationships, because you kind of, especially when you're first starting out and you're spending a lot of time with this person, you want to be with them. And I completely understand that. But if the most important thing to you is going on a hike Sunday every day with your best friend Ruby, and you stop going on that hike or every Sunday with your best friend Ruby, that's a red flag. Like that's a big red flag. You shouldn't be changing anything in your life that really matters to you or in a relationship. Can't give up the things that mean the most to you.
Don't take for granted Ruby or your best friend, whatever her name is.
Never. Or time with your family, or it's so whatever it is that makes you feel the most you, or the things that matter to you the most, right? We might go through phases of different hobbies and whatever, but like my family time is so incredibly important to me, and I don't ever ask permission to do that. And if I were to ever be not spending time with my family, I would hope I would recognize that something was not right. And I'm not saying it's your partner's fault by any means. It is hard work to get to know yourself. It is hard work to understand who you are. It's uncomfortable, especially because we're constantly changing, we're constantly learning, and you do have to do these check-ins with yourself and say, okay, how am I feeling? It's hard work. It's a constant thing that you have to do in your life. You don't reach it once and then you're done.
Yeah.
No way. Our relationship with ourself literally affects all of our other relationships. And so the most important one we can have is with ourself. And I think it's just so easy to forget that sometimes.
I agree. And like on the topic of catching up with family, I'm aware that not everybody has the luxury of being in the same country as their family. So for those that are listening, if that's you, it might be reading, it might be spending time doing certain activities. And we need to make choices that are right for ourselves. And we need to stop expecting to constantly be glued to our other half and go out and do that thing, read that book, buy that course. I don't know, maybe start that new activity that you've always wanted to do and try it. It's going to feel so different at the start and uncomfortable. But I guarantee it'll take you 1 or 2 weeks or 1 or 2 lessons, and then you'll be like, oh, I started that thing. And for me, it was starting a new dance style. Like when I got back into my singlehood, I started a new dance style called Zouk. And I've always wanted to dance Zouk, especially because as a bachata dancer, there's a lot of Zouk movements that allow for like a lot of circular motions and circular movements. And I was like, it's actually not that hard to just start a new thing. You just sign up, show up, and you do it. But before, I guess our mindset of trying new things can be so challenging. So, yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Like, for your clients that are wanting to try out something new and they're really feeling the fear, what do you say to them?
No one's ever regretted trying something new. Maybe a strange food that didn't agree with them or something like that. But when it's something that is telling you in your soul that you want to do it, and that's the things that you're thinking about over and over and over again. Oh, I really want to take this dance class. I really want to try this new thing. If you continuously go back to this thought, you're not going to regret trying it. You might try it and say, that wasn't for me, but I'm glad I did it. But it's so hard to do that as adults. I look at kids and they're unstoppable. They have no sense of like fear or anybody judging them or what other people will think about them. Like, what, look internal and say, well, what is stopping me from doing this? Is it that you genuinely don't have time? Because you do. You do have the time. You just have to make it.
Yes.
If someone's telling you that you shouldn't do it, then you shouldn't have them in your life. Is it finances? Completely understand. Take the time to save up so it doesn't make you regret doing it. Take the time to save up. Nothing feels better than saving the money to do something you really want to do. I just say, go try it.
I agree wholeheartedly. Just do it. I think that also runs into starting new businesses. I have so many people that I've spoken to who have told me stories of like their success. And the number one key, I think the key to being a successful entrepreneur is actually having a really short time between an idea and a thought and implementation. And sometimes that's why people with ADHD, I mean, I don't know if I have ADHD. I think that I might. But one of the gifts of ADHD is that you implement things really quickly and you just try it. And if it doesn't work, you just try the next thing or you start the next business. And that's part of the journey. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to be that way and you need to have ADHD to be successful in business, but there is value in reducing the paralysis by analysis by just giving things a shot.
I could not agree with you more. And I'm a new business owner. I started out just a few years ago, and one of my biggest roadblocks was posting on social media. And I've done the work to like get through that, but I also realized, why was I so intimidated to be myself? That was a sign to me that I needed to get to know myself again. What's going on that's blocking me from stopping? Like, what is this self-doubt? Where is it coming from? And now, since I've taken the steps to surpass that, and I actually do feel comfortable doing it, you know what I notice? When I consume more than I create, my self-confidence goes down.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, because you see all these other successful people doing their thing, and you're like, okay, well, so then maybe I should do it their way.
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself, no, keep doing it your way. But again, this all comes back to your relationship with yourself, right?
100%.
It all, like, all of these moments of doubt or moments of uncomfortability is a sign to check back in, get to know yourself again. Do a self check-in. What is making you feel uncomfortable and how can you move past it? Because you're the only person that can answer that.
100%. And I think self-acceptance is a big one as well that stops a lot of people from posting on social media. There's a lot of inner critic judgment, like the rah-rah, that voice that stops a lot of my clients. It's normal. It will happen to everybody. It will happen to Jay Shetty. It is something that we just got to move through. And firstly, when we reduce the judgment, and we have acceptance on of ourselves and we are authentic and aligned, it makes it a lot easier to post on social media. Because when you come out, like I remember the day I came out with the truth and I shared with my audience what I was going through over the last year or a year and a bit. And I came out with, guys, this is what's been happening. I haven't been 100%. I haven't been fully okay. And that's why I haven't been showing up the way I used to show up. Once I got past that point, creating content was a breeze. It was like, oh, I've just like let the truth out now, let the cat out of the bag. Now I can just move on and create more content. So sometimes it just all it takes is just one post, one single post that just realigns things again and us accepting that sometimes we are not all okay. Sometimes we are dealing with grief. We've lost someone in our family or we're in an unhealthy relationship or I don't know, we've injured ourselves or our fitness isn't great or someone's gained weight, whatever. Accepting that we are not perfect, removing the judgment, and then coming back to self is going to empower you to move forward, to create. And I think that's so important.
On it's, I cannot agree with you more. And this actually brings me to the most valuable piece of advice. Or I don't know if it's advice necessarily, it's a fact, but it was just like something that like I was a teenager. I was dealing with depression very intensely, and I was in DBT, dialectical behavioral training, and I was forced to get to know my emotions or how to sit with really, really, really scary emotions. And it was very difficult, but what I simply learned through the process was how you feel is valid. And I say that to other people, and they're like, "What?" And I'm like, "I know it's crazy, right? Like it's valid. No matter how you feel, you can't control how you feel. Emotions come up, and that's fine. But the worst thing you can do is push them back down or say, it's not valid. I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't feel this way." But you do. So why are you even trying to like push that away? And in return, how other people feel is valid. So even if you don't agree with how somebody feels, it's okay. You don't have to, but to recognize that how that person feels is valid to them, it helps reduce any argument. It helps me understand other people so much more. And it's really like my best friend, Mackie, she tells me all the time that the best piece of advice she's ever gotten was how I feel is valid.
Oh, I love
It's
that.
so simple, but yet so complicated. But once you really understand that that is valid, and also for everyone else, I swear the world shifts a little bit because you come from this place of like, I understand. And that may not make it easier to like get past the point of whatever hurdle you're facing, right? Like posting on social media or whatever it is. But I know it's really helped me in those moments of like, what do I do? Why am I feeling this way? I shouldn't feel this way, but I do. And it's valid. And then it moves past you, and then you share it, maybe if that's like what you're moving past, and then it creates an entire new world for you.
I love that so much. And I think that that was something that I had to relearn. And it's definitely challenging when you are constantly saying the word should in your language, in your inner dialogue. And the moment that shifts, oh my goodness, it's like you're freeing yourself. And then all of a sudden, you can tolerate a lot more. And I think earlier we were talking about like spending time with family. For those that might have grown up with, like for me, a tiger mom, where I've got like a Chinese, like hard ass mom who's like constantly on the ball. And I think that that inner voice can automatically become your own inner voice. But the moment we can tune out of that, it's so liberating. And we've just got to have that practice and practice using that muscle of not doing that. Because otherwise, that joy and that essence of life can start to chip away. I think it's really important to let go of the shoulds and just accept and be like, okay, inner child is feeling this way. The inner child is our emotional selves. Okay, how can we like retrain that or talk to our emotional self or our inner child and understand where it's coming from and retrain that?
Yeah, and you know, Phoebe, it actually brings back to expectations. Expectations that we have ourselves. I should feel this way. I will feel happier when I'm in a relationship. I will be happier if I move to Austin, Texas. What? These expectations that we create, it's so easy to do it. It's so easy. It takes literally saying it out loud or thinking it to yourself multiple times. But the moment you put that thought into existence, it becomes an expectation. And we have to be so careful with those because truly you were just setting yourself up for the potential of disappointment.
Yeah,
And
I
that's also a
agree.
reminder to look back inward, right? What really is the root of your expectation that you're setting?
Right. I'd love to shift to self-worth for a moment here and ask you about the mindset shift that encouraged you to help other women break free from the need for external validation. I know that external validation happens to men and women. So for the men that are listening, this is for you as well. But I'd love to hear your thoughts. What can we do to stop having that need for external validation, for someone to praise us, to say, well done, you did great? And how can we give that to ourselves more?
Great question again. But I think for this, I mean, step one, as I've said a million times, is to really look inward, right? So your need for this external validation in relationships show up within your thoughts and your behaviors. Okay. So one thing I have been noticing a lot recently with the women I work with is relying on others to help you respond to a voice text message. You're relying on other people to either validate what is happening between you and this boy, or you're confused on your own boundaries, values, self-worth. So you're relying on other people to provide that value or validation back to you to say, oh, this is what you should be saying, rather than responding from really like your heart and soul, like where you need to be. And that also is just your when we do that, it's natural to do it. We all do it. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying take it with a grain of salt, because whatever these your friends are responding back to you isn't you. They're not in your relationship. They're not in your head. They're not in your heart. They don't really know exactly how you feel or what happened. They know what you're telling them, right? So that's one thing I notice a lot, which is like to me a sign that this person is seeking validation from other people, is like confused on their own self-worth and doesn't really know what to do. So they're relying on others for it. It can also show up in fear of rejection. Nobody likes rejection. Nobody likes it. But rejection is the best thing that can happen to you. And once you understand that and you don't take it personally, you might always take it a little personally, and that's fine. It's rejection. We're human. We have feelings. But to understand that, why would you want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with you? It's very simple. And once I understood that, I was like, oh, this actually really helps. It also can show up in people pleasing tendencies. So, okay, I'll go with you to that movie, even though you hate scary movies. Why would you do that? You don't have to do that. And I am very guilty of people pleasing tendencies to this day. Also shows up in difficulty setting boundaries, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because are just seeking this validation from somebody else. So you're going to get rid of your boundaries. They don't matter because I need the validation from you more. And also not wanting to spend time alone or being scared to. It feels uncomfortable. That's a sign you should do it.
Yeah. I think people that need a lot of validation, they also struggle with that level of maturity that comes when you've done that inner work. I know that when I was younger, especially in high school and also in my 20s, I needed a lot more validation than I do now. So I noticed that as I matured, I was seeking people's opinions a lot less. I was not needing people to, like, I think I also just listened a lot better. Like, I noticed in my conversations with people over the years, there were a lot more pauses. There was a lot more listening than speaking. And sometimes the person that needs to talk the most, they're actually feeling insecure. And I'm just using this example because I have been in a relationship with a person that needed a lot of external validation, and it was constant, and it was so full on that I couldn't step foot anywhere with him in public without him needing to take over the conversation. And that was when I realized, I remember there was one day where I stood there and I was like, oh my goodness, he just needs validation. It's like an inner child issue. It's him. And when I saw that from a place of love and compassion, I was like, okay, I can understand my partner a lot better now. We don't need to make excuses for people's behavior, especially if it's not good. But it is a good thing to notice and reflect and try not to cast judgment as much as you can to a point that is healthy as well for yourself, for your own self of
Oh,
self for
absolutely.
your own self-respect and self-love.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have no idea what anybody is going through. And so when you do see people behaving in this way, maybe the best thing you can do is actually just ask them, hey, what can I provide for you right now? I think that's another thing too. I notice in communication, sometimes there's a huge difference between wanting to vent and seeking advice. Sometimes you just need to vent, and that's fine. Sometimes you need advice, also fine. It's good to identify to whoever you're speaking to what they need. And also, it's really great to ask them what they need. What can I do for you right now? Do you want a hug? Do you want a handhold? What is going on, and how can I help you? And that was one of my boundaries of trying to be a little less empathetic and like distinguishing a fine line between how they felt and how I felt. I didn't have to feel the same pain or frustration or anxiety that this person was feeling just because I was with them. I could still help them without being fully consumed by it.
I'd love to know if your partner is constantly needing a lot from you and they're becoming needy, what would you do?
Create a very safe environment. Something that, whether it's you live together and your favorite thing to do is watch a TV show or whatever it is, and make sure that you are coming from a place of love. And just ask them if there's something going on because you've noticed a difference in their behavior and there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, but you've just seen a difference. And is there anything that they want to talk about? Because sometimes you don't want a hug all the way to the kitchen and you're happy to do it now and then, but sometimes it's not what you want.
Yeah.
So what is actually really going on beneath this neediness? We go through it. We have phases of our month with our cycle. We feel different. We're more emotional. We don't want to be touched. We do want to be touched. I just want to snuggle. We're just human. We're not perfect. There's no such thing. And so I think that as long as you also can realize that about your partner or your best friend or whoever it is that's having this sudden change of behavior, and you just come from a place of love and understanding, and you just ask them if there's something else going on. And a lot of people can maybe be a little surprised by that, and that's okay. There's no easy way. You don't want to build it up to be this big thing. Hey, I need to talk to you about something. No. That makes it such a bigger deal than it is. I think that when you can really show your partner or your friend or whoever it is that you love them for who they are and you care about them a lot, but you still have your boundaries of what works for you and what doesn't work for you, then you can hopefully have that conversation and really get to the bottom of what they're going through.
Yeah, and I think it's important not to confuse yourself as a therapist for your partner. I think at the end of the day, we can give them love and we can give them only so much until our cup is starting to get drained. And it's actually important to create healthy boundaries and to have your partner seek the appropriate help if that's what they need. And of course, understanding, love, patience. But not to the point where you are becoming so patient and so understanding, and the pattern is starting to repeat and repeat and repeat that you're now becoming their therapist or their helper or their caretaker, because that's again going to drain your cup. And I think for me, when I experienced my cup being drained and it got to a point where it was like empty, that was when a lot of frustration would start to come up. And so, if you're feeling frustrated, you've got to look at your environment and look at how much time are you spending alone? How much time are you giving to your other person? And how can you fill your cup again?
Also, that reminded me of something else too. I've felt that way with even friends in the past, where I am like, am I your therapist? Like it can become a lot sometimes. And it is a lovely thing to know that your friends can rely on you and that they trust you. But what I struggled to do in that situation was to create that boundary, to stand up for myself and say, hey, I love you so much, but I'm also going through some stuff right now. And I don't have the emotional capacity to be there for you in the way that I have been. Just see how they take it. That's you have to create those boundaries because otherwise, guess what? That person, whether it be your friend, your partner, whoever it is, they don't know that they're draining your cup. They think it's fine. If you don't communicate it to them, they have no idea. And so that's another reminder to have really incredible, strong communication skills and also your boundaries, right? Like it all comes back to boundaries. Having it's hard. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have with somebody, but if they are your friend or your partner, there's no response other than, I am so sorry. I had no idea you felt that way. Is there anything I can do for you? Or whatever it may be. And if they don't respond that way, then that's another conversation and that's something else to think about because healthy relationships are two individual people and it's an even tug and pull. It's not this like measuring cup of, well, you don't do this for me, but I do it for you. It shouldn't ever feel that way. No matter if it's romantic friendship, it doesn't matter. Colleagues, like any relationship.
Oh, I totally agree. Thank you so much. And I'd love to know for the listeners that are tuning in right now that are wondering how can they improve their relationship with themselves or their partners? What's one tip or one bit of advice that you'd give them?
I think what really helps me shift and what I love to set even a reminder for myself is instead of focusing on who should I be, focus on who I am and what I genuinely value. I think a lot of the times in situations, in every situation that we've talked about, it becomes easier to think about who should I be, what should I do, rather than who am I? Am I respecting myself? Am I respecting my values? Do I know what my values are? Do I know what my boundaries are? And just that little simple like switch of what should I do? Who should I be? To what do I need? And who am I? Puts you back with just a nice little checklist. Check in with yourself.
Great advice, Mariah. I love that. Thank you so much for what you have shared. I am really excited to now dive into the rapid fire questions so that the listeners and I can get to know you. And essentially, it's just five questions and it's whatever the answer is at the top of your head. There is no right or wrong.
Let's do it.
Okay. If there was one thing that you cannot live a single day without, whether it's something physical or non-physical, what would it be?
My water bottle.
Ooh, I've never had anyone share that, and I love that because I'm also really attached to my water bottle as well. And I've got like,
If I forget it in the in like the house when I leave for work, I'll go get it. I'll go get my water bottle.
I've got dents in my water bottle, and I'm like, I do not care. I love the colors, and until I find one with the exact same brightness and colors, I'm keeping this water bottle that's got dents in it. So
I
I love
love it.
Rapid fire question number two, what or who inspires you to do what you do today?
The women in my life. I work with an incredible group of women that I've gotten to know extremely well over the past 3, 4 years, and they inspire me every day. They teach me every day, and they're my biggest inspiration for sure.
Oh, I love that so much. Our clients are honestly. They're soulmates. And when you have good clients, it makes business so much fun.
100%.
Mariah, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time? What do you want to do or what do you want to have accomplished?
I definitely see myself still doing life coaching. This is definitely a lifelong career for me. I'm ready to get out of Los Angeles. So I definitely see myself outside of Los Angeles, or I would like to be outside of Los Angeles. The world is very big, and I'd love to experience living somewhere new, maybe. And yeah, that's it.
Beautiful. I think travel and relocation is such a special thing. That's awesome. And Mariah, you've kind of already addressed this, but I'd love to know if you could leave the world with one message, and this was like your last message for the world, what would it be?
I think it would just be how you feel is valid. Don't forget that how you feel is valid and how other people feel is valid too.
So beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Now, I believe you've got a one-to-one coaching offer and a 3-month intensive sailing solo program. Can you tell us a little bit about that for the listeners that are tuning in? Who's it for and how do you help them?
Absolutely. So Sailing Solo, I built because it's a 3-month intensive of one-on-one coaching. And I know from experience that drastic change takes time. It takes a lot of hard work, and it takes about 3 months to make that like official change and switch. So Sailing Solo is built for women who just feel so completely lost that they need to start at ground zero. And together we build that foundation. We look back into your values, your beliefs, your boundaries, your past. What has led you to where you are? What have you been through? Where do you want to go? And so within those 3 months, we really just build your own little house so that by the time we're done working, you have a toolkit where you are just so confident in who you are, what you deserve, what you want, that nothing else gets in the way of it.
I love that.
Yeah. And then for one-on-one coaching, it really is, if 3 months, it's a big commitment. I know that. I am very aware of it, but I'm so confident in that time frame of really, you will leave those 3 months being a different person than where you came in from. And I need those 3 months with you. Whereas one-on-one coaching is maybe you are going through a breakup or it's just a hard patch and you aren't really maybe ready to commit to the 3 months, or you just don't need as much support as somebody who really is going to start from ground zero.
Beautiful. I'm going to link your links to the show notes. So, for anyone that is listening, if you want to reach out to Mariah and work with her either one-to-one or in the Sailing Solo program, definitely reach out. There is a special link in the show notes, and you guys can reach out to her and definitely connect on social media as well. I hope that you're feeling inspired and uplifted after this episode. I know I certainly am. And for the listeners, if you have enjoyed this and you're listening and you think that this is something that will inspire either your friends or your community or someone that you know, please take a moment to share this with another person. Hit that share button. And also, if there's anyone that you think would be a great fit for this show, make sure to let us know as well. And don't forget to hit follow or subscribe. And if you're feeling generous, a quick rating and review definitely goes a long way.
Thank you so much for having me, Phoebe. I've really enjoyed this. I wish our time wasn't up.
I know. I am definitely having you back on the show, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about your goals and seeing you rise up to thrive and shine.
Thank you so much.
So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you inspired to thrive.